Great. Thank you very much, everybody. This is the July 9, 2024 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar, and this is the second item at 11 a.m. I'm Sharon Rice, the county's hearing examiner, and I will go ahead and open the record on the project known as the Carpenter Ridge Planned Rural Residential Development Preliminary Plat and Reasonable Use Exception. This project is being reviewed under county file numbers 2022-105-128 and 2023-103-499. Very quickly, to just give a little bit of information, I think folks know if you're not testifying, please do keep your audio muted so that whoever's testifying can be heard. And then please try and make sure your environment is quiet so we can hear you. I will hear from county staff first, and I have questions queued up for both staff and applicants. If there is member, if publics do join, wow. If members of the public do join, they will have a chance to testify, and we will have responses first from staff and last from applicant, because they get the last say in today's hearing because they bear the burden of proof. I think I'll just acknowledge that I don't work for the county. I'm not a county employee. I work on contract for this government and several others, and I have not prejudged the applications. So I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision here today. Before I open the record for testimony, I just want to do one thing, and that is to give the applicant a heads up. You can think about this during testimony and let me know at the end. Because I have a current fire hose of work, I'm going to be asking for a 5-day decision deadline extension. You don't have to agree to that. And if you don't, I'll do everything I can to get it out on time. I will also be doing everything I can to get it out if you do give me a 5-day extension. I'm just letting you know in advance that I'll ask for that at the end. And I will be holding this record open for 2 business days for post-hearing public comment from members of the public who tried to participate but did not participate due to technology problems. And if we get any post-hearing public comment from those folks, there will be an opportunity or a request actually for staff and applicants to respond, and they will also have 2 business days. So there's a bit of a schedule at the end of this. I will go over the schedule in detail, and at the very end, I will send it in writing to Miss Katie and she can forward it to folks. I think that's what I'll do for opening remarks, except that I will acknowledge the exhibits I was provided. Exhibit 1 is a staff report to the examiner, and on the last 3 pages of the staff report is a list of attachments. They are identified as attachments A through Z, Z1 through Z13. And was there another exhibit? I did not receive any other documents. So exhibit 1 and its attachments are admitted. I did review them. I think that's it. That was quick, sort of abbreviated, but just wanted to give you the highlights. With that, I will be asking everybody to testify one at a time. And before you do, I will ask you to state and spell your name for the record, and then give me your correct job title or name your relationship to the case. And then I will ask you to take an oath to tell the truth. So with that, let me have the county planning staff please demonstrate this for us.
Yes, hello, good morning. Lacey Garner, L-A-C-Y, last name G-A-R-N-E-R. I am an associate planner with Thurston County CPEN.
Thank you very much. And if I could swear you in, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Great. As mentioned, we are discussing the Carpenter Ridge Planned Rural Residential Development Preliminary Plat Proposal and their Reasonable Use Exception applications. We're hearing them both at the same time. The applicant has chosen to have them heard concurrently. Project numbers 2022-105-128 for the PRRD, and then 2023-103-499 for their reasonable use exception. The address of the property is unassigned at this time. It's on the east side of Carpenter Road, south of Hawks Prairie Road, northeast. Tax parcel number 11803220000. The applicant requests approval of a planned rural residential development, also known as a PRRD in short, preliminary plat to subdivide 40.18 acres into 8 single family residential lots, and approval of a reasonable use exception to construct the private access road to the development through a wetland buffer. The parcel is encumbered by several wetlands, a stream, steep slopes, and their associated buffers. One of the proposed lots accounts for 80% of the parcel, approximately 32.23 acres, so 32.23 acres, and it includes most of the critical areas and their associated buffers on the site. It's designated as the resource use parcel for the PRRD. The other seven lots range in size from 1.02 to 1.78 acres in size. The parcel is zoned rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres. A PRRD provides allowances and criteria for development of smaller lots than otherwise allowed by the minimum lot size in the subject zoning, and PRRDs are allowed in this RRR 1 to 5 zoning. The project proposes a private paved road for access to all the proposed lots. Access to the parcel is from Carpenter Road Northeast. The parcel's frontage to Carpenter Road Northeast is completely encumbered with wetlands and their relative buffers. The project proposes their private road access the southwest corner of the parcel, which is within a wetland buffer, and cross the buffer for approximately 240 feet until exiting the buffer to reach the largest area of potential development on the parcel that is outside of additional impacts to critical areas and their relative buffers along the southern section of the parcel. So the reasonable use exception is to provide, again, that roadway through the wetland buffer. Some background on the site. It's currently undeveloped. A Class 3 forest practice permit from DNR was issued for the property in 2014, and that can be seen in attachment Z11. And that also included about 1,800 feet for a logging road, and that's the existing road in place that is referenced throughout the proposal. So the entire parcel was subsequently logged after that 2014 permit was issued, and a 6-year development moratorium was then placed upon the property, which expired July 1st, 2020. The application was reviewed pursuant to CEPA requirements, and a determination of non-significance was issued on October 27th, 2023. This was not appealed and became final November 18th, 2023. The Division of Land and CEPA applications were submitted October 6, 2022, and I assume in that review process, it was determined that a reasonable use exception application was also needed. So that's why that was not applied for until 3/4 of a year later, July 2023. So department analysis on the, the density. The project meets density and resource use parcel requirements. It meets minimum lot size, or it appears to be able to easily meet minimum lot size, setbacks, maximum building height, subdivision design requirements. Within the PRRD resource use parcel requirements, the ownership wasn't completely clear. The resource use parcel may be owned by a homeowners association, corporation, partnership, land trust, individual, or other legal entity. I note that the intended ownership of the proposed resource parcel is currently unknown and should be clarified, as is the use. The use is able to be one single family residence and accessory uses, and I believe that is the intended proposed use, but I just am pointing it out that that has not been clearly identified in the proposal materials. And again, subdivision design. The resource use parcel appears to meet all applicable design standards noted and appears to do its best to adhere to these standards while taking into account the critical areas and their buffers that encumber the site. I was not planning to go through all of the reasonable use standards and those questions or those answers, but I do keep that lined out in the staff report. If you have any questions, please let me know. But I do, in general, agree with all the applicants' answers and believe that they have met that criteria. Going forward to the critical areas ordinance evaluation, the subject property contains mapped critical aquifer recharge areas, prairie soils, wetlands, and landslide hazard areas. As I mentioned, the majority of all of those critical areas and their buffers are contained within the proposed resource use parcel, and the area of steep slopes are also within that, and so no analysis or further reporting was requested on those areas because none of the proposed development was anywhere near those. And with the wetlands, there is a wetland report that has evaluated all seven wetlands. No, yeah, seven wetlands on site and their buffers. That's attachment F. And wetland A is nearest to the proposed entrance to the development and has been evaluated to be a Category 3 wetland that requires a 220-foot buffer. The applicant requests the reasonable use exception to construct a private road through the outer 54% of the standard wetland buffer associated with wetland A to allow the PRRD of the 8 single-family lots. And they have proposed a 4-to-1 mitigation ratio to as mitigation for those impacts, which the mitigation would be approximately 2.1 acres along the north and south of that impact area. And the proposed approach for wetland buffer enhancement is removal of non-native invasive species and interplanting native trees and shrubs, as noted on page 17 of 72 in the critical area report. So moving on, utilities. The development proposes individual septic systems per lot and shared use of two existing wells via Group B public water system, one for potable water and one for irrigation. Findings. So TCC 1812090 requires that findings be made in order to approve a preliminary plat, and appropriate provisions must be made for public health, safety, general welfare for open spaces, drainage ways, streets and roads, and many other things, including potable water supplies. And I just wanted to bring this specifically up because there was an ongoing discussion about the potable water availability for this site, and I make note of that in the staff report, that discussions between Thurston County staff and with the Washington Department of Ecology and applicant team were had on the potable water supply needs for the proposed development. And the substantive points of that discussion were attached. And but what it comes down to is our environmental health department, they provided staff resolution to these questions in their attachment Z6 that via an email from Ms. Dawn Peebles. And so I think that that has been resolved, but I just wanted to point that out. It was kind of an ongoing discussion for some time, and happy to answer whatever questions I can on that. Review agency comments. Thurston County Public Health and Public Works Department recommended preliminary approval with conditions that are attached. I provided my conditional approval as well, and some public comments were received, and the concerns are generally about safety and traffic on and around Carpenter Road Northeast, as well as the logging that took place on the property within critical areas that may not have been replanted with trees per DNR permit requirements. County staff performed site visits, and we observed what seems to be natural revegetation of various sizes of native tree species and understory plants, including invasive species, that has taken place since the logging in 2014. Some of the trees that have grown above the lower vegetation are younger Douglas fir trees, which is the species of tree specified for replanting on the 2014 DNR forest practice permit. The trees could not be observed to be growing in a grid pattern typical of DNR replanting requirements. However, it is unclear to county staff whether the subject property replanted per their DNR permit after logging. Staff reached out to DNR staff on this question, but received no assistance in making that determination. However, in the critical area report done by the applicant's consultant, attachment F, page 4, the consultant notes that the unimproved property has historically been logged and replanted with Douglas fir, with a dense understory of invasive Scotch broom and Himalayan blackberries. So I take that as probably a more intensive evaluation of the site by the consultant than I was able to do on site. And they say it was replanted per DNR standards, or they say it was replanted with Douglas firs. So that's where I've landed on that, taking their word for it. And I think that that really wraps up my evaluation of the proposal. Again, I'm just trying to not overdo my reading through all my notes. So if you have any questions, please do let me know.
Sure, I do. Thank you though, I agree with your summary statements to open the hearing today because I, of course, have read the materials. And so I do have some questions queued up. Let's start on that last topic. It was my last question for you, but let's go off of what you were just talking about, that the concerns about the logging and whether or not the site was replanted are in the public comments at attachment U. And I just want to make, I want to confirm my understanding of your department's position on this point. Is it true that your department feels that it's whether or not the site was replanted consistent with DNR requirements is not something that the county can enforce? You've tried to confirm it, but you haven't necessarily been able to confirm it, and you can't enforce it. Is that a correct assessment of your position?
That is correct.
And does the fact that we can't, that your department can't confirm that DNR replanted as required after the logging, does the fact that we, that you can't confirm, does that impact your analysis of the current applications in any way?
Somewhat. I feel that I could put a condition of approval on the plat by saying that replanting per DNR standards be done prior to final plat approval or final occupancy. I feel that that is one way that we can ensure that that was done. However, if we're talking about 38 something plus acres of critical areas, I think that would be pretty difficult to investigate. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. I think that this question has come up for me, and how can we make sure that this, that the replanting was done, because this is quite a large area. Obviously there's neighbor concerns about saying that this wasn't performed. And that's the only way I feel that the county can have any repercussions on that. But otherwise, it is a DNR requirement that we cannot enforce.
Okay. Does the county need to have confirmation that replanting has been accomplished or will be accomplished in order to be satisfied that the critical areas ordinance is satisfied, or is the critical areas ordinance not triggered with respect to this clearing and subsequent planting requirement?
Because this was done with a DNR permit, unfortunately, this falls outside of the critical areas ordinance at the time.
Thanks for confirming that for me. That was my expectation that that would be your answer. And so thank you for not helping me not assume.
Great.
Thank you for that. Sorry, I'm not very articulate today. Moving on to another topic, regarding the critical areas plan, which is in the record at attachment F.
Yes.
In your staff report on page 9, you make a comment, I'm scrolling, that your department has preliminarily accepted this plan?
Yes.
Tell me what that means. Will there be
I suppose that means we're evaluating this as a preliminary approval, and so
Is there a subsequent opportunity for the county to require more or different, or is this hearing is it? Is that right?
This hearing is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see your point. I can yes, that preliminarily should be striked out.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that you weren't saying something I didn't get. And so that satisfies my need for that. Your department has accepted this report.
Yes.
Thank you. We're still in the report. The plan calls for planting at 4-to-1 ratio for a mitigation to impact, and it identifies 1.5 acres as that area, but your staff report notes that calculator says 4-to-1 would be 2.16 acres.
Yes.
Would the number of plants needed to cover 2.16 acres consistent with the critical areas ordinance be greater than the number of plants called for in the critical areas report that only identifies 1.5 acres?
Good question. I thought that the report went back and forth between those two quantities of mitigation areas, and I will need to look at that again to see what the planting plan is based on, which of those. But let's see here. If you look at their page 14 of attachment F, table 6, you can see that they mentioned 2.16
Yes.
as the area.
Yes.
And then they go on
Okay.
to say, so I, let's see here. Yes, and then table 8 on page 16, the estimated number of plants seemed, according to their table, it's based on approximately 2.16 acres.
Great. That's great. So that answers that question mostly, except for your recommended condition 7 in the staff report, which addresses the mitigation
Yes.
requirement, doesn't call out the acreage. And I thought maybe it would be stronger if it just specifically said the plan, must be conducted at a 4-to-1 ratio requiring 2.16 acres of planting.
Yes,
That
that
too
makes
much detail?
sense.
Is that going to create complications down the road if I add that much detail to it?
I don't believe so. I think that would be great for clarification. Thank you.
Thank you for going through that
Sure.
with me. Just a couple of other questions for you. Is it known, is it a certainty that the schools that would serve students that live in the proposed lots are within busing distance? They would not be walking to schools?
Correct. What research I was able to do on that was seems as though for public school busing, it was just a matter of reaching out to the schools and making a reservation for a stop.
And did the school
And
district
then,
submit any comments addressing a bus stop?
no, none were provided.
Thank you. I didn't see any. Okay. Back to your recommended conditions. Sorry, I'm jumping around a lot. In the very last recommended condition basically includes all the comments in the DOE letter.
Yes.
In my mind, as a hearing examiner, some of that is factual and isn't condition. Does all of that language need to be included as conditions?
That is a great question that our team has gone back and forth on this very point. Where do we include these Department of Ecology comments when we don't receive any to include in an MDNS? For the SEPA, for example, if they come in after the MDN or the DNS, then it was instructed to me that I should include them as conditions of approval. So that's our current process. I agree. It's not, it's kind of, these aren't, let's see, you're referring to.
The very last condition, 48, the water resources language is really the one that I'm talking about.
Okay. Yes, and
But it's
they
also
also
true of 46. I'm sorry to interrupt.
and 45. So
Yes.
45 through 48 are Department of Ecology comments. And again, I was advised that these should be in here. And I think I wanted to specifically include them. And I would love to hear if you have thoughts on this and take it back to our team on how to approach these comments. I wanted to capture the water resources comments because that was an ongoing conversation that I just wanted to make note of.
All right, thank you. I'll decide at a later point, if approval is granted, whether to prune back any of those comments, so that conditions only contain thou shalt language instead of background factual information.
Right, that makes sense.
Thank you for
Thank
going through
you.
that with me. I think that was it for you, Ms. Garner.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Let's go to environmental health. Could you please introduce yourself for the record?
Morning, Dawn Peebles. That's DAWN PEEBLES, Environmental Health Program Manager with Thurston County Public Health and Social Services.
Thank you. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Ms. Peebles, your volume is just a little bit quiet. I don't know, maybe it's
Okay.
my computer, but.
Our air conditioning is actually working, so that may be muting me as well. So I'll speak louder here.
Thank you.
Our department did review the project, and our correspondence is included at attachment Z9 with three recommended conditions. Those are also included in the staff report on page 21, items 42 through 44. One of them speaking to the Group B public water system. Our department has reviewed and approved the well site for that water system, and that is included at attachment G. I would like to slightly modify the language of condition 43 to clarify that final construction approval of the water system is required prior to final subdivision. The way it currently reads, it's unclear. It just speaks to the design approval. So I would propose to send that modified language to Ms. Katie to replace the current language at condition 43.
Thank you for submitting the exact language so I don't have to get it correctly in my notes. On this point, Ms. Peoples, I did want to ask, I was just talking to Ms. Garner about the lengthy comments from DOE that have been included as conditions. DOE is still going, according to the language that has been included as condition 48, DOE is still concerned that it is likely that more than 25 people would live on these 8 lots, that 3 per 1 acre lot seems like a low number. And I don't know if your department has any response to this math.
I did plan to speak to that.
Thank you.
Part of the Group B review and design process, which is under the jurisdiction of our department, and I'll just clarify, Group B water systems are community systems with 3 to 14 connections and less than 25 people per day. The Group B water system design guidelines, which is Department of Health publication 331-467, specifically identify 2.5 residents must be assigned to each dwelling unit per WAC 246-291-200, item number 2. And it goes on to further identify local health jurisdictions cannot waive or modify this population standard.
Great.
So again, Group B water systems are permitted through the local health department. Group A water systems are permitted through the State Department of Health. As this water system is within our jurisdiction and our staff are currently reviewing its design criteria, the water system has currently shown to be under the 5,000 gallons per day withdrawal amount. That is the trigger that would require water rights. If something were to change through the design process between now and final construction, that 5,000 gallons per day threshold remains in effect and water rights would be required should that number be exceeded. But based on state code, the water system is within our jurisdiction and it currently does identify less than 25 people per day based on the state guidelines.
Thank you for that. The WAC was 246-291-200 sub 2?
Correct.
Thank you. Appreciate the citation. I don't think I have other questions. Anything else, Ms. Peebles?
Not at this time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Saint, could you please introduce yourself for the record, sir?
Yes, I'm Arthur Saint. ArthurSaint. I'm a civil engineer for the Thurston County Public Works Department.
Thank you very much. May I swear you in? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Saint, I don't know if you received a copy of the public comment at attachment T that contains traffic related concerns.
Probably did. I don't need to pull it up to look, make sure. Yes, we did receive this and review it.
Could you just provide some testimony responding to it, please?
This and more than one comment had questions about access and the safety of the new proposed access. A county inspector did go out and look at the access, and we did not have issues with it. If there's also questions about warning signs, I guess. That's not really something the county would do typically. If it is something our traffic department would look at during the construction review of the project, if it was required.
Okay. If the neighbors are concerned that there's inadequate sight distance and that warning is required, are they able to lobby the county public works department for additional signage?
Always,
is there a mechanism
certainly.
For that?
They could just contact the public works department directly or traffic division and request signs. That's pretty common fact.
Thank you for that. And then they were concerned as well, I thought, about the number of additional trips on the road. Can you speak to that?
Yes. This subdivision is proposing 8 lots. That's really not enough traffic to require any real further analysis, but it is a relatively heavily traveled road already, but no issues were anticipated by the county.
So heavily traveled road, but capable of handling trips from 8 lots in your department's estimation.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you very much. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, sir?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions for staff. Anything else before we go to the applicants? Anybody? Nope. All right. Let's go ahead and hear from applicant representatives. If you would please unmute, state and spell your name. Give me the correct title by which to identify you in the findings, and then let me swear you in.
I can start. My name is Steve Schmitz, and it's STEVESCHMITZ. I'm with KPFF Consulting Engineers and the civil engineer for the project currently.
CE4 project. Thank you, sir. If I could swear you in. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
I think the Lacey did a good job of summarizing the proposed project, and that I unfortunately have not had a chance to see the staff report at this time. And I guess we have no further questions, I guess, regarding the project.
Great. I do have questions that I don't know if you'll be able to answer them, sir. I'm going to throw them out. If there's somebody else on the call who can, we can toss the baton at that point.
Absolutely. I'll do my best.
Do you have any further information about the intended ownership of the resource use parcel, lot one?
Oh, we need to defer to Ross Munson as the owner of the parcels.
Let's have Mr. Munson swear in. Sir, I do have a couple of questions along this line, so let's have you introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, I'm Ross Munson, the property owner and applicant for the project.
Great. I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand to take the oath. Sir, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Munson, can you provide additional information about how the ownership intentions for lot one?
Yeah, the ownership intentions plan to be a single family dwelling, and the current plan is for myself to build a home on there. So
okay, so the lot owner of lot one is going to individually own lot one and be responsible for its care and maintenance.
That is correct.
Excellent. Are there any intended resource uses for that parcel?
Not at this time.
Thank you. So it's going to retain the critical areas basically, and then serve as a single family residence.
Yes.
Great. So I don't know if this question is for you and or consultants, but in looking at the mitigation plan, which I felt was very clear, I didn't see a map that shows where the enhancement is going to go. Did I just miss that?
I may have seen that over the last 2.5 years, but there's been a lot of revisions and updates to this, but I did believe it was going to go out near Carpenter Road in one of the site maps that...
Okay. The figure three site map shows the buffers and the wetlands, and it shows the impact, but it doesn't, I don't see that it shows where the enhancement's going to go. And so that's why I was asking, do you think that there is a map that shows where the plantings are going to go?
I will have to look and answer that probably not at this moment.
Okay, and that's totally fine. Let's do this. If you do have a prepared map that shows where the enhancement plantings are going to go, I'd like to add it to the record.
Okay.
And so what we'll do is just acknowledge that, and we'll set a deadline for that to be submitted after this hearing.
Okay.
Over the next few days. And is there any question in anybody's mind about the total acreage that will be planted being 2.16 acres? No question. It's going to be 2.16 acres.
Correct.
Okay, Mr. Schmitz, thanks for confirming that. It's just that I think that report contains a typo or two that says 1.5 by accident. Does anybody from the applicant team want to provide testimony that helps us understand the status of replanting following prior clearing activities under the DNR permit?
No, I believe that my understanding of all this, kind of having to learn about it as we went through this process, is that DNR has their own requirements and recommendations, or well, I shouldn't say recommendations, but they have their own requirements that are sound like much more lenient than what the county would require. And from all of the testing that we had to do, I believe we had to essentially grid out the entire property and test for arsenic.
Yeah.
So I've personally been all over that property, and that entire property is planted everywhere with new trees, and I think they're much easier to see, I think, during the wet times than during the summer when the blackberry bushes are almost, in a sense, overgrowing some of that stuff, just all the underbrush. So there is a ton of plantings, and they definitely are gridded out. So.
All right. Anything else on that point?
I don't think so.
Okay. Any other response from applicant representatives to the concerns and public comment regarding traffic or site access? Mr. Schmidt?
Not, I think Arthur did a good job of summarizing. There is, the road is heavily traveled currently. The existing access is being maintained at its current location, and that if advanced signage was necessary, it would be something that we could pursue with the county during final design.
Great. Mr. Monson, did you have a chance to read the conditions that are in the staff report?
I did read the conditions.
And did you have any questions or concerns about those?
Not any more than we've tried to best address in our resubmittals.
All right. So no objections to the recommended conditions.
Correct.
Thank you. Anything else you want to bring to my attention?
Not me, no.
Okay. Mr. Schmitz, anything else?
No additional comment. Thank you.
I don't have other questions queued up for you either. Let me find out, do we have any members of the public who might want to provide testimony? I believe we do. Can we promote Dave Trujillo and see if Dave Trujillo would like to provide comment?
Yep, I'll do that now. And so Dave, you'll get a notice on your screen asking you to rejoin as a panelist if you'd like to testify.
Hello. Feel free to share your video and please unmute and let us know if you'd like to testify. Hi.
Hi there. I actually had not intended to testify. I just wanted to, I'm just to the south of the development.
Yes.
Immediately to the south of it. Had not intended to testify. Just wanted to listen. However, I do wanted to add
if,
that
if you're going to testify, I do need to swear you in. Yes. So let's do that, okay?
Okay.
Would you please spell your name for the record and let me swear you in?
Sure. Last name is spelled Trujillo.
And can I ask you please to raise your hand, sir? Do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Trujillo, I also need to ask you either for a U.S. mail address or an email address.
Sure. Mail address is 6120 33rd Lane, Northeast. 98516.
96516. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I had just intended to listen, not testify, but I did want to just add something as having been at this property for a good number of years. When the last timber was harvested off of the property, I never did see any evidence of plantings. I just want to share that what is there has grown up since the timber was harvested. So I don't think it was purposefully planted. And that's all I wanted to contribute.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. All right. So if that's, I don't think there's anybody else in the meeting except for other county staff, I don't believe. Mr. Overton's not going to testify, right, as a member of the public?
No, I don't believe so.
All right.
I think he's just observing.
Thank you very much. Then let's just find out if there's any further comment or responses from county staff. Ms. Garner, any response to public comment?
No, thank you. Just that I could have sworn that there was a planting area map, and I'll be looking for that as well. If I
great.
Find something, I will let you know.
That'd be great. Thank you. Anything in response to that testimony from the applicants or any last comments before we close the record?
No, thank you.
Great. And from the applicants, anything?
No, we will. I'll work with Ross and we will find and provide where the mitigation would be located. It's my understanding it'll be in the existing wetland buffers, but we will confirm with the wetland consultant.
All right. So thank you for that. Let's go. So I believe we're done with testimony at this point then. Anybody, last call for testimony from anybody? Okay. Then let's go to that post-hearing schedule that I advised you of at the top. Again, the county code requires my decision to be issued within 10 business days, but I would be surprised if I could accomplish that. The applicant is not obligated to agree to extend the decision issuance deadline. It's just my habit to ask if you're willing to grant an additional 5 days, because if you're willing, then my decision can be on time. So I'm just asking if you're able to grant me 5 additional days, if yes, but you're not obligated to agree to that.
Yeah, I have no issue with that.
Thank you very much, I appreciate it. The only document we've identified that the record is being held open for, other than potential post-hearing public comment from folks who had technology problems, is a map, a graphic depicting where the mitigation plantings will be planted. And if either county staff or the applicant representatives find that map, they can submit that to me, and I just need that within the next 5 business days or so. There's no rush on that because I'm not going to start in the next 5 business days anyway. So, talking about a fire hose, not even kidding. This is the most work I've ever had. I've been doing this 20 years. This year, this is the most work I've ever had. I will make note that I'm waiting for that document. If there isn't one, that's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be any kind of huge problem. But if there is one, I'd like to supplement the record with it. So please do look and let me know if you find one. Thank you very much for agreeing to extend the decision deadline by 5 days. That means the decision deadline is 15 business days. The record will be held open for 2 days, which is through July 11th, for post-hearing public comment from members of the public who tried to join but had technology problems and weren't able to participate. If there is no post-hearing public comment, the record will then close on the 11th, and the 15 business day deadline becomes August 1st. If we do receive timely post-hearing public comment from folks who had technology problems that prevented them from participating, then staff and the applicants would both be requested to respond in writing. I just remembered that county staff is going to be out of office in the days following this hearing. So let's change that deadline again. So that it's only being held open. This is not going to change the final deadline. This is just going to change when the post-hearing comment is due. So again, thank you to the applicant for agreeing to the 5 extra days. The decision will either be issued on August 1 or August 5. Based on that agreement, but I am going to extend the public comment opportunity simply because county staff is going to be out of office during the traditional 2 business days. Miss Katie had told me that before this hearing. So that let's have the post hearing comment due on Monday the 15th. And then staff and applicants. So again, post hearing comment is due on the 15th. If we get none, the record closes on the 15th and the decision deadline is August 1. If we do receive post-hearing public comment, staff and the applicants are requested to respond in writing, and you have 2 business days, which means your responses are due on the 17th. And the 15 business day decision deadline will still run from the original date, which means it'll be due August 5. So I didn't push the decision deadline due to staff's out of office. I pushed it due to my work volume. So. Thank you very much, everybody. Again, the only other document we're looking for is a map that shows plantings. I will send this schedule. It will be clear and understandable. I will send it in writing to Miss Katie. She will forward it to the parties of record and cause it to be posted online. Thanks very much, everybody, for your participation in this hearing. I look forward to issuing you a timely decision, not later than August 5. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're adjourned. We can start.